Most of you know me, some don't. My name is Karen Palm. I was an AP student myself. So this project for me is like my contribution to this community that gave me a lot. And the fact that I'm working on trafficking prevention today actually started on this campus in this building. I took a course on human rights, law, and I did a paper on human trafficking, and that paper took me to where I am today, 4 years later. So I will do my presentation now for you people and talk to you about human trafficking. So I'm doing this initiative as part of my youth work as a youth peace ambassador at Council of Europe. So this is my first initiative, and I thought it would be honoring to do it at AEP. So my initiative is to help promote human trafficking prevention on this campus, to try and generate a mentality for people to be more engaged in preventing this activity, because it's not good for anyone and it affects all of us, whether you know it or not. So I'll just go on then to present my presentation so that the speakers can talk to you more on trafficking. I'll show you a very short video just to introduce human trafficking to you.
Are we on camera?
Yeah, baby.
Hey, make sure to show this at the wedding tomorrow. Filming a bachelor party ever amounted to anything good.
Oh. Last night of freedom.
Up here on the right. Hey, up here on the right.
Where do the high school girls hang out?
I can show it to Sarah later, right?
The single most lucrative commercial enterprise in the world.
The fastest growing crime on the planet.
Look at that girl.
Hey, we're going to get shot.
Boys, yeah. Welcome to heaven.
Sick.
It's a reality.
You're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars. This is not a lifestyle choice.
It'll be as long as you want to make it, you know.
We live in a world where we don't necessarily know what's going on next door.
Yeah.
I don't even know where we are right now.
Oh, yeah. Some serious massage.
If you're not seeing it, you're not looking for it.
What kind of place is this?
It's everywhere.
It's not even light out.
They live under constant threat of violence, under constant threat or actual sexual abuse. They are given only enough food to sustain them.
That's when I started to sing. I said our death brings life unto uncertain things. Clouds of light for me, sunset in autumn breeze. Sound is moving like a chorus, keep hearing that melody. Check the radio, nothing's playing. Take the radio again, but there's nothing playing. Moonlight illuminate my nights and my days. Sun may make the people say, had a vision, something missing, so this
week. I remember in particular one girl who was crying as she told her testimony. She wasn't crying because she had been forced into the sex trade. She wasn't crying because she had been beaten and raped. She wasn't crying because she'd been stripped naked and chained. She wasn't crying because her so-called parents had shoved a baton down her throat to get her to do it. She was crying because after her rehabilitation, which was coming to an end, she had nowhere else to go other than to return to those parents.
Sweet chariot of flame, change my name, no, was always the same. Tell the funny what you find when you climb, and check the radio.
These are 13-year-old girls who had been kidnapped, and their virginity was being sold to the highest bidder.
You can do
it
now.
Good. You might get caught in a temple of doom. I said, moonlight illuminate my night. By day, sun ray make the people.
For instance, in the sex industry, what makes slavery modern there is AIDS. You have a timeline on how long you can use a human being. And then when they're done, you just find another.
During the transatlantic slave trade, the value of a young male agricultural worker on U.S. soil was an equivalent of $40,000 today. You can buy that same young male agricultural worker on U.S. soil for about $300 today.
Never forget, justice is what love looks like in public.
It's time for the world to focus on acknowledging that slavery still exists. It's never gone away. But we put people on the moon. We have dolphin-friendly tuna. Why can't we do the same for kids and people?
International law, because there are legal instruments that state this fact, and we can look at regional covenants such as the Convention on Actions Against Human Trafficking, which was, developed by the Council of Europe, and Mr. Lucas will go into further details for that for you. And then, of course, there's the United Nations Convention Against Transnational Organized Crime, and its sub-protocol, which is supplementary protocol, which is, let's say, geared at preventing, suppressing, and punishing trafficking in persons. And these two instruments actually provide the definition for human trafficking. So trafficking is defined as follows: the recruitment, transportation, transfer, harboring, or receipt of people by means of threat or use of force or unprompted coercion or abduction or fraud, or deception of the abuse of power or of a position of vulnerability or of the giving or receiving of payment or benefit to achieve the consent of a person having control over another person for the purpose of exploitation. So it's a very long, all-encompassing definition. And of course, exploitation is also defined, because it has to be defined, otherwise exploitation can mean anything. And if you look at this definition, you can basically summarize it to three main elements, which are the act. You have the act, the means, and the purpose for trafficking. And I found this in a report, and I thought it was a really great way to give you a better picture. If you think the definition is too long, this gives a better idea of what it's all about. So basically, human trafficking is a global phenomenon that affects countries of origin, destination, and transit, of course. I come from a country, or I grew up in a country, which is Greece, that is a country of transit and destination. And it's also one of the reasons why I'm working on trafficking today, because when I was 19, I met a victim, and I didn't even know that she was a victim of trafficking. But in that particular situation, she told me that she was only 16 and she was in Greece because her parents were told that she was going there to complete high school by some, you know, family friend. And she ended up working at a strip club, and it just so happened that I knew the person who owned that club. And this person was hiding her in his house so that she wouldn't work, because he thought she was too young. And 10 years later, I find this person, and he's actually just got out of jail. So then I started realizing that, oh my God, this is what, you know, what it was. And that actually made me want to do something more and more, because I felt guilty. I felt like I didn't do something that I could help. So just to give you that reference point and, you know, to explain to you how this is a problem that most people think is only in underdeveloped countries, it actually happens in developed countries as well. So I found this map, which was recently published by the U.S. State Department. It's a map that basically outlines the different countries of origin, countries of destination. And the countries in red, obviously, I mean, shows the intensity of movement. And those in really dark blue shows the direction of the movement. So you can see, like in Africa, for instance, Nigeria stands out a lot. And that's because, yes, there are a lot of young women, especially, that are traveling from Nigeria to Europe, whether it's to Greece, to Turkey, to Italy, to France. And so that's just one highlight. And of course, you have Eastern Europe, and that Eastern European part is usually linked to the fall of the Soviet Empire and the fact that, you know, lots of poor communities, they started seeking a better life somewhere, and of course, there were people to exploit that. So I think this map is a great demonstration. And of course, those who come from the United States or, you know, from that part of the world can see the movements and also like the intensity of the United States, which is why in the US there is a huge budget that goes into fighting trafficking. The root causes of trafficking, basically these are the universal causes. They happen everywhere, so it's the same situation for these reasons, which is the decline in the possibility for regular migration. When people can't get a visa to travel, they will go and find other routes. Lack of public awareness. People get into situations that they don't know what kind of a mess it could be. And of course, there's the high profit potential for the traffickers. They see money in this. So I actually did a survey for this, where I had students respond to some questions about human trafficking, and I got some really interesting answers. And one of them made me think a lot about this particular cause, the high profit potential, which is the fact that they said that it depends how you look at who is the victim. It could be the traffickers as well. So this is just to show that some people can say, okay, traffickers don't have better opportunities to find work, and so they think that to make money, this is what they have to do. There's also the fact that the networks or criminal networks are pretty organized. They have resources and they're, you know, great networking capacities all over the continent and the planet, if you like. So there's lack of effective anti-trafficking legislation or lack of effective enforcement, because we do have instruments that exist, but the countries that have actually signed and ratified these instruments, do they actually do enough work to, you know, enforce them? Global economic policies, exclusion of marginalized people, and of course disintegration of social protection networks like family ties, and then we also have widespread corruption. This comes to play with border control, it comes to play with embassies giving visas to underage, you know, people, stuff like that. And of course the causes from the countries of origin, typically from poor countries to poor countries. So you can see the reasons there, which is poverty, lack of political, social, and economic stability, lack of reasonable or realistic prospects, like people wanting to get a better life as soon as possible. It's not always great. And situations of armed conflict and oppression, refugees getting taken advantage of. All of these reasons, I'm not going to list them all since you can see them, but I think you get the general idea. These are some of the causes from the countries of destination. For instance, in a developed country, it's great to seek cheap labor because, you know, you don't get to pay social charges and all of those reasons. That's one thing. And of course, the other thing is the increase in demand, because in the sex industry, for instance, there's demand and supply. So when you have people seeking such services, then, you know, others are seeking to supply it. And this is just another map to show you, again, the scale of the problem. And let's say we're zooming in here on the map that I showed you earlier, just to show you Europe specifically. And this is the situation. And according to this, I got it from a UNODC report in 2008. And according to them, there are 127 countries of origin, 98 transit countries, and 137 destination countries, so just how widespread the this problem is. It's really important to note that human trafficking is really a problem that requires due diligence, and I put some statistics up there to just show you the gravity of it. Someone asked me, how did they come up with these statistics? Who goes out and does the research and finds out that these are the number of people that have been trafficked? I can't answer that, but this is what I know, and this is what I have to base my my work on, because as far as I'm concerned, that's a big number. And I found this is why I thought it would be interesting to show you just the map and the direction, how people get trafficked, where they traffic from, and where they go. And you can see that Europe is definitely like a nice, attractive place for people to be moved to, or for whatever reason. I mean, it happens all over as well. As you can see, the arrows show different places, but where Europe is concerned, it comes from everywhere. I've even heard that in Spain, they traffic people from South America to Spain. Now, let's move towards the five P's of combating trafficking, which is protection, prosecution, prevention, promotion, and partnership. So I'm more in the prevention element of it at the moment, and that's why I'm here talking to you today, because I'm hoping that you can join this movement and try to, contribute to this, say, strengthening.
My name is Joy Ngozi Ezilo. I'm a Nigerian, but I'm currently the United Nations Special Rapporteur on Trafficking in Persons, especially Women and Children. I was appointed in 2008 by the Human Rights Council as a Special Rapporteur. And as a Special Rapporteur, our work is to undertake a country mission or assessment or fact-finding missions with regard to issues of human trafficking, again, to also report to the Human Rights Council and General Assembly on situation of human rights, human trafficking worldwide, and again, to ensure, according to resolution that established my mandate, that we integrate human rights perspective and gender-sensitive as well as child-centered approach in combating human trafficking. And for me, in combating human trafficking, we always have to think about five P's and three R's, which is the issue of protection and assistance to victims, the issue of prosecution of traffickers, punishing traffickers appropriately, prevention of trafficking, and then again, promotion of international cooperation or partnership in combating human trafficking. And with regard to the three R's, we're talking of rehabilitation, reintegration, and redress for victims of trafficking, effective remedy. And what is crucial in the fight against trafficking is that we must, sufficiently train and build capacity, build institutions like the police, the immigration, the border guards, the judges, the prosecutors, so that they can have the right capacity to identify victims of trafficking as early as possible, again, to provide protection, referral assistance, shelter, legal representation, and to collaborate with NGOs in organizing training that will enable them to have the requisite capacity.
Students are doing a lot of work to fight against human trafficking. I know that Columbia and Yale actually have specific initiatives on campus that work and fight trafficking. And I put this link as an example for you to see, so that maybe it might inspire you to want to do the same thing. Because in America, it's so big, and the government actually spends a lot of money into this. And I got from the responses in the surveys that some students actually learned about trafficking from high school. So I thought this was a really good thing. Basically, I think that these are some of the things that students can do, such as, be active versus just passive. Say I don't care, it's not affecting me. advocacy, like generate and inspire sensitivity amongst people that you know, even if it's just your family members, your friends. And of course, be curious to get informed, to learn more, to do some research, because that's what I did. I think it did work. Education and outreach, learn by doing. The best way to learn is to actually do stuff. You know, it's much, much better than hearing someone talk to you about things. If you get yourself in that position, it's better. And also participating in international conferences and seminars. This is how I started my life as a youth worker, taking part in a seminar on trafficking. And the picture right next to that shows my very first seminar that had to do with human trafficking, fostering the prevention of youth trafficking in Europe. And of course, inspire young people. Oh, and I did skip voluntary and NGO work. I think that's also really important to do voluntary work. Finally, I think that these things can be done, but there are limitations, such as lack of awareness and lack of motivation. We know that human trafficking is illegal. Under international law, it's a major problem that requires due diligence, and of course, youth, especially students, have an important role to play. I also have this MTV exit in the corner. These MTV started in 2003 a campaign against human trafficking, and it's doing a really great job because they're spreading all over the world. They actually have a chapter in Greece as well. Just to finish up, I think prevention is challenging because some people say, no, we cannot, slavery is like poverty, we can never get rid of it. This is something that a student said in response to the surveys. And I thought, okay, that's a valid point. But still, it's challenging, but it doesn't mean that we shouldn't try. So I think it's definitely worth the effort. Thank you all for listening.